praise the Lord for that special this evening, and what a blessing that was, and I trust that you can praise the Lord for all he's done, and what a great blessing. Of course, this week is Thanksgiving, and we're mindful of that. Is this on? Doesn't sound like it is on up here. We good? Okay, good deal. Just want to make sure, but praise the Lord for the goodness of our God and all that he has done, and certainly starting with salvation and then continuing every day of our Christian life. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1 this evening, James in chapter 1, and a couple weeks ago, we started in the book of James, just going verse by verse through this book. It's one of the general epistles of the scripture that James is the author, and he's writing to the 12 tribes of Israel that have been scattered abroad. And he's encouraging them because they're going through problems. They're going through difficulties. And if I ask the raise of hands tonight, how many of you have experienced difficulties as you live the Christian life? Every one of us could raise our hands. And so it's something that we're dealing with as we go through this life. And so the chapter 1 is all about trials. And one of the themes of this book is just the idea of the marks of spiritual maturity. As we grow through this life, we ought to be growing closer to God and not further away from him. And so we're looking at that tonight. If you found your place there in the scripture in James chapter 1, I invite you to stand this evening. James chapter 1, we studied the first four verses a couple weeks ago. And again, we covered the introduction and the idea of trials. And as we look at this passage, verse 12 would be the key verse of chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And God desires that as we go through the trials, that we stay faithful to him in our time of difficulty. And when we endure that difficulty, the Bible says there is a crown of life. There is eternal rewards. Just think about that tonight. Eternal rewards for just faithfully looking to God in the time of difficulty. What a great blessing that is. And so we see that's the key verse of this chapter. But tonight we're going to study verses 5 down through verse 8. Verse 5 is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. I find myself quoting this often. Verse 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And then there's an indictment on this man, the man that wavers. The Bible says in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And tonight, we want to look at this thought. The mature Christian asks God for wisdom. Mature Christian asks God for wisdom. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're thankful for your goodness. Lord, we're thankful in the words of Scripture that you have given to us everything that we have need of to live the Christian life. And Lord, knowing that we're going to be going through difficulties, Lord, I pray that we would look to you for godly wisdom in the times of those difficulties. I pray that you'd help me now, Lord, to preach this message the way you would have me to. I pray for each and every person that is gathered here tonight that they would receive exactly what you would have them to receive. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. I remember my freshman year of Bible college. I was at Crown College in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I think it was March of that year that we found out that my great-grandmother, she had been very sick. She was 94 years old at the time. She passed away during March of my freshman year of Bible college, and so she lived in Sistersville, West Virginia. Anybody ever been to Sistersville, West Virginia? I think there's one stoplight in that town, and the major employer of that town is the Coca-Cola Bottling Company. And my great-grandmother worked for that company all of her life. And so my brother and I drove from Knoxville, Tennessee to West Virginia, Sistersville, and we attended the funeral service there. And it was about halfway between Knoxville and Cleveland, Ohio. And so we wanted to make a long weekend out of it, so we drove the rest of the way up to Cleveland, Ohio to spend the weekend there. But I remember as we were leaving, after the service was over and the funeral meal, we had parked on the grass, and my brother was driving my car. And my brother backed up, and he backed up over a rock that was sticking out of the ground. And we heard it scrape the bottom of the vehicle, but we weren't very smart at the time. So we didn't look for any damage. We just got on the road and began to drive the 4 hours or so to Cleveland.
And I'll remember we got about 15 miles outside of the city of Cleveland. You could see downtown off in the distance. And the engine completely died. We pulled over. We were there on the highway. My brother tried to crank the engine. We're getting nothing. My dad was just a few miles behind us. He was traveling with us, but behind us. So when he got there, the first thing that he did is he checked the oil dipstick. And it was completely dry. What had happened, my brother, using my car, driving my car, he wasn't driving his car. He drove over a rock. He put a hole in the oil pan, and we dripped oil on that entire trip up to Cleveland. It's amazing we made it as far as we did. And completely blew the engine. That was the day I said goodbye to that car. Listen, I say all this, and by the way, when my dad got there, we got the lecture of a lifetime, you know, like dads can do. Did you guys not think to check? Did you guys not look at the gauges? Did you not look at the dashboard? Did you not think to check the oil there? And yet, the reason I say that is because, listen, just some simple wisdom on our part could have changed the entire outcome of that day. I would have had a car. Listen, I had to go back to college without a car. I had to suffer and bumming rides off of people to get back and forth to work for a couple of weeks. And I should have made my brother lend me his car, but certainly that didn't happen. But the idea there was just simple wisdom of just really, if we would have just checked underneath the car once he ran over that rock. If he would have kept his eyes on the gauges, and I still blame him to this day. I'm not bitter or anything like that. But I want you to understand, it's his fault, it always will be. And that's recorded now, so you know that. But listen, James is writing to Christians who are living with troubles. They're living in difficulty, and we see that in the first few verses. But as he continues on, he says, listen, as you go through difficulty, your greatest need is godly wisdom. Thinking right when you go through trials. You need to have godly wisdom. Listen, if you may be here tonight and you're dealing with something, can I tell you, your greatest need is not the removal of that trial, but God's wisdom to help you navigate your way through that trial. That's what he gives to us. And he says, listen, not only is godly wisdom, not only is it needed, but the Bible says it is freely available to you and I. And God's wisdom is available to you. Listen, all of us have people in our lives whom we turn to for wisdom. In just about every area, I think about maybe you may not be as mechanically inclined as somebody else, and so maybe your car begins to make some noises and you don't know what those noises are. You usually will pick up a phone and maybe you'll call your mechanic or you'll call a family member and say, hey, my car is doing this. Can you give me some wisdom to help me out in this area? I think about maybe it's a home remodeling project or something like that, and maybe you call someone and say, hey, listen, I want to begin to tear down this wall. Can I tear down this wall without, causing problems and structural integrity in my home? Or can I do this? Or have you ever done this project? How did it work out for you? Sometimes we go onto the internet and we search out that project and maybe watch a video on YouTube of how to do this. And listen, isn't it interesting that in every area of our life, we look for wisdom in other people. And yet the question is tonight, who do we turn to in trouble? Who do we look to in trouble? Can I tell you, a lot of people look to themselves in the midst of difficulty? Let me try to figure this out. Well, listen, I don't really know what I'm doing, but we're just going to try to move forward the best we can in looking to ourselves. And yet I want to say this, during testing, we ought to turn to God. He says, come to me. Ask wisdom of me. And so tonight, I want to look at this passage, and I want to show you three things as we face trials. These are the things. First of all, wisdom is necessary. As you go through difficulty, you must have godly wisdom. Wisdom is necessary. Secondly, I want to look that wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God. True wisdom comes from God. And finally tonight, wisdom requires faith. True wisdom, wisdom received from God requires faith. And so let's look at these very quickly tonight. Number one, wisdom is necessary. The Bible says there in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Again, listen, I think there's a greater application in several other areas of life. Listen, as we go through this life, wisdom to make decisions, yes, I believe there's a godly wisdom. But keep in mind, the primary application of this text is in the difficulties of this life. And so he says, listen, if any of you lack wisdom in your trial, you're going through a difficulty and you lack wisdom, let him ask of of God for that wisdom, the Bible says God will give it to them. Now, this is a promise, but understand it's a conditional promise. It's a conditional promise. It's based on a couple of things. Here are the conditions. First of all, we have to acknowledge that we're deficient. We have to come to a point where we say and we realize, I am lacking of wisdom. As he writes to these churches and these Christians that are scattered abroad, listen, many of them in their difficulty may have tried and failed on their own to navigate through their own trials. And yet he says, listen, if you will acknowledge that you're deficient, you can go to God and ask for wisdom. I love this thought. I don't remember who said it. I wrote it down as I was studying. This is the thought here. A great deficiency prompts us to pray. Listen, why do we go to God in prayer? Most of the time, the reason we go to God in prayer is because, listen, we have need of his help as we go through this life. And I want you to understand tonight that difficulties and trials have a way of revealing our weaknesses and our deficiencies. I find myself in a trial, and all of a sudden I find that I don't have things figured out. Did you ever notice life can be like this? Everything is fine. There may be money in the bank, the kids are healthy, relationships are good, and it's smooth sailing, and it seems like in just an instant any one of those things can change. And we find out in that moment, maybe I didn't have everything figured out that I once thought I had figured out. That's what difficulties do to us. They make us realize that we are deficient, that we do lack wisdom. Can I remind you, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Lean not to thine own understanding. Listen, the caution of Scripture is this: don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in yourself to try to be able to figure out and navigate through the difficulties of life. Why would we do that when God says, I have godly wisdom for you? Listen, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, the mantra of our world today is just trust your heart. Let your heart lead you. Let your heart be your guide. And the Bible says, no, that's not the way we need to look. We need to look for God in our difficulties. Call upon God. Cry out to him. Acknowledge that you are deficient in wisdom. You know, it's natural to look inward. I find that I do that when I go through difficulties. How can I fix this problem? What can I do about this problem? You know, we want to be able to run here and listen, who do I need to talk to fix this? Maybe it's a relationship. Well, maybe I can talk my way out of this, or maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe I can borrow my way out of this. We tend to look inward, and God says, look to me. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so we see one of the qualifications there is that we would have to acknowledge that we're deficient. And then this kind of sounds easy, but we have to ask the right person. He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I was going to tell you, that seems pretty basic, but for most people, that's not a natural first option. For most of us, again, we look inward, we try to fix things, and yet the Bible says that we must ask of God. I find it's amazing the places and people we'll seek out for help before we go to God. Before we fall on our knees before God and say, God, I need your help in this situation. We may go to a family member. We may go to the bank. We may go any number of places. And finally, when none of that is working out, that's when we fall on our knees before God. And yet God says, look at me first. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, we just read verse 5, but in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Listen, you live in difficulty, you're going through difficult times, look to God, acknowledge him in those difficult days. And the Bible says, the promise is, he will direct your path. That's what every Christian has need of, godly wisdom to navigate through the difficulties of this life. You see, the truth is, we will face difficulty. And yet James would show us here that we will face that difficulty employing either earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom, or godly wisdom. Look at over in chapter 3, if you would. I want you to see this in chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 13 of chapter 3, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. In other words, listen, as you go through this life, what type of wisdom you employ will eventually show forth in the decisions that you make. As you go through a difficulty, and if you employ earthly wisdom, that inward looking within myself to try to figure things out, that's eventually going to show forth. And yet if you employ heavenly wisdom or godly wisdom, that'll eventually show forth as well. He gives a definition of these. He says in verse 14, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." He says, listen, earthly wisdom is one way of dealing with your problems. That's the type of wisdom that will use other people to get ahead. It's a selfish wisdom. That's the type of wisdom that helps us to, when we look at that and we say, I've got this problem, well, I know this might not be the most ethical way of going about things, but it doesn't matter. I need to get through this problem, and therefore, if I have to drop my ethics or if I have to drop my morals, listen, sometimes a bill comes in the mail and the first thought is, well, maybe I should stop giving to God to be able to deal with this. Can I tell you that's earthly wisdom in dealing with the trials that we go through? He says this type of wisdom, it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. And there's confusion in every evil work. Can I tell you that's the type of wisdom the devil tempts us to employ when we go through difficulty? What can I do to fix this problem? What decision can I make to navigate my way around this? But the Bible says there's also a heavenly wisdom or a godly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's a pure wisdom. Listen, when I look to God, I don't have to sin to get through that trial. I don't have to drop some of my morals or some of my ethics to get through that difficulty. It's a pure wisdom. It's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and I love this, without hypocrisy. Listen, when we have heavenly wisdom, we can go through a very, very difficult time, and we can emerge the other side and not be embarrassed on how we behaved as we came through that trial. We realize, listen, I may not have had everything together, but God guided me through that. I did not have to drop my morals. I did not have to drop my standards to go through that trial because I had heavenly wisdom to navigate through it. And so we understand tonight as we face trials that wisdom is necessary. Listen, as I look out across this crowd, no doubt about it. Every one of us are dealing with difficulties. Listen, some may be more major than others, and yet some may be longer than others. And the truth is, the first thing we need to understand is that we must have godly wisdom. And then we find out, number two here from this passage, that not only is wisdom necessary, but true wisdom comes from God. True wisdom comes from God, and as we ask God for wisdom, notice that the Bible reveals, first of all, that He is generous. The Bible says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. There is a generous amount of wisdom that is available from God. Can I tell you that every Christian has the same opportunity to receive God's wisdom? Listen, as we go through the difficulties of this life, every one of us have the same opportunities to receive God's wisdom. Listen, God created each and every one of us different. God created us with different personality traits, different character traits, different levels of IQ, different skills, and different gifts. And yet God says, listen, every one of us have the same ability to receive godly wisdom in our life. In other words, listen, we can't look around and say, well, they have a better opportunity in their difficulty because, well, they just have more of God's wisdom available to them. No, the Bible doesn't reveal this. The Bible says He gives it to all men liberally. God's wisdom is in limitless supply. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever tried to help someone that was struggling in life? It may not even been in a trial. It may have been in a project that they were trying to complete. And maybe you had some skills in that or some wisdom in what they were trying to do, and maybe you offered to help them, and yet you didn't want to really insert yourself into that problem, but you kept saying, listen, I'm here if you need some help. I have some ability to help in this area, and yet they never looked to you, and you kept watching them struggle day after day. Can I tell you how frustrating that is? And yet I think about this with God. As he watches his children struggle through this life, day after day, and listen, can I tell you that God will not impose himself upon you? He says, listen, if you want godly wisdom, you can come to me and I will give that to you, but godly wisdom is available to us, and it must sometimes, I would imagine, as God looks upon us, he's just saying, man, I wish they would just look to me. I wish they would cry out to me for that godly wisdom that I can help them as they navigate through this trial. We see that he is generous, and then we see that he is gracious when it comes to wisdom. The Bible says he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That word upbraid is the idea of reproaching or scolding. Listen, when you come to God for wisdom, it's not as though he reproaches us or scolds us. He is ready to graciously give us all the wisdom that we have need of. Here's what I love about this. Listen, how many times have I done something and made a mess out of things? I think all of us could understand that there are times in this life when we don't make the right decisions, when we don't do right, and yet when we realize we've done wrong, can I tell you, we can go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I've made a mess out of things. And God, I want to turn from the decisions that I've made, but I'm asking you if you would give me the godly wisdom. And can I tell you, God is there to restore us, to pick up the pieces of the damage that we have done in this life and begin to mend things together and to restore us. That's the gracious wisdom that God has for us. And what a blessing, because God never grows tired of hearing from us. When someone is needy in this life, we can grow irritated with them pretty quickly, can't we? Oh man, here comes that person again. I wonder what they need this time. It may be a coworker. They always need your help. Or maybe it's a family member. Oh, I wonder what the problem is now. We get irritated with people when we do that. I tell you, God is not like that. His graciousness and wisdom encourages our continuance in prayer. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that we can come boldly before the throne of God. Listen, I felt like this before. Dear God, it's me again. I know I was here yesterday and I had a need yesterday, but today I have a different need. 2 hours later, dear God, it's me again. I need your help. Can I tell you, God never grows tired of hearing from his children. What an incredible and a powerful truth for us to understand that God is so gracious in wisdom. He does not upbraid us. He does not scold us. He does not rebuke us and say, I can't believe you haven't figured these things out yet. How long have you been a Christian? How long have you been living this Christian life and you're still struggling? God doesn't do that to us. He's gracious in wisdom. And then we find in this passage that he is giving. The fulfillment of the promise there is that he would give to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The fulfillment of the promise is, listen, you acknowledge that you have a need for wisdom, you go to God for wisdom, and God gives you that wisdom to go through the time of difficulty. And so tonight we find here that wisdom is necessary. True wisdom comes from God, and finally tonight, the third thing I want you to look at, true wisdom requires faith. True wisdom requires faith. The Bible says there in verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. I tell you, as you go through difficulties in this life, you need faith in God. You need faith that God is going to be there for you. And yet the Bible reveals that God is there for us in the difficult times of life. And we can rest upon that faith. And so he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And then he gives a description of what it is like to waver. The Bible says there at the end, middle of verse 6, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. He says, listen, there's some Christians who live their life as though they are tossed to and fro like a wave out on the sea. There's no stability in their Christian life because they're lacking faith in God. Because of this doubt, this person lacks stability, and the slightest influence or pressure will affect their belief or position. Listen, we can come to church, and in the back of our minds, we know we're dealing with a problem. And we can sit through a message, and we can get powerful truths from God's word during that message. And then we are fired up, we go home believing that God can help us in our problem, and yet some people listen, as soon as they get home, they get more bad news. Maybe it's a text message. And all of a sudden, the faith they had in God to intervene in their situation is once again gone. They're like a wave, the Bible says, that is tossed to and fro in the ocean. Why? Because there's just a simple lack of faith in an almighty God. In God's power to intervene in their situation. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we can believe, and we can stand before people and say, listen, I believe that God created the world with the spoken word in 6 days. I believe that. And I think all of us would say, yes, we believe that. We'd say, I believe that Jesus stood before Lazarus' grave and with the spoken word called Lazarus out of the grave. We believe that. We believe that Jesus died on a cross and yet he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave on that third day. And we can believe the miracles of Scripture. And we can look around and see other people and how God is working in their lives. But sometimes we look at our own difficulty. We say, God, I know you can do everything else, but I just feel like you're limited in your ability to intervene in my situation. He says, that's the description of the person that wavers. Listen, can I tell you, the severity of your trial or circumstance does not affect God's ability or his power in your life. What you're going through, listen, the devil causes us to look at our problems and say, well, this is unlike anything else that anybody else is dealing with. And I understand God can do it for them, but I just don't know if God can work in my trial. I tell you, the devil desires that you would be a Christian tossed to and fro, doubting what God is able to do, like the waves of the ocean, no stability, no faith, always doubting his ability to work in your life. We see there the description of those that waver, but notice the loss of wisdom for those that waver. Verse 7. Again, in the context of trials, he says there in verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Listen, your greatest need is wisdom. But if we doubt God, and if we doubt his ability to help us in our trial, chances are we're not going to go to God and ask for his help. And the Bible's very clear. He says, listen, God doesn't just give wisdom to us. We have to come and ask for it. And so sometimes, listen, as we're living the Christian life, we're wondering, why am I struggling in the Christian life? It feels, and listen, there are some times that we feel like we're on a boat and we're tossed to and fro as we live the Christian life, and this affects us and that affects us, and we're moving around and we ask this question, why am I struggling? Well, it's because we're not asking for godly wisdom. We're not asking for his help. And he says, I would give you all the wisdom you'd have need of if you just simply asked me for it. You see the loss of wisdom for those that waver. And then would you notice the destination for those that waver? Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, what happens is one trial or one difficulty comes in our life. We don't look to God for godly wisdom in that difficulty. We draw upon our own knowledge and our own wisdom. And we make a mess out of things. And can I tell you, that has a way of trickling into every other part of our life. Until eventually, this verse could be said about someone that just, they're unstable in all their ways. Sometimes they're in church. Sometimes they're out of church. Sometimes there's some faith there. Sometimes there's no faith. Sometimes there's great doubt. It's like they're just a wave that is tossed to and fro on the water. You see, the difficulties in life, the trials that we go through in this life are a process for growth. That's why God allows them to come into our life. They're a process for growth. God allows them knowing that if you'll come to Him and ask for wisdom in that trial, that you'll grow in spiritual maturity. That's the whole point behind difficulties. It's not as though God sends us difficulties in our life because He likes to see us suffer. No, that's not the case at all. God sends difficulties as a process for growth, as a process for spiritual maturity. As we look to God in those, as we ask for God's wisdom, we are able to come through those with faith and emerge on the other side, growing in our Christian faith. And yet understand this. The tragedy happens when we don't draw close to Him in our trial. When we start going through a difficulty and we begin to push God away. I tell you that that's how the devil would have you navigate your trials. Not drawing upon the wisdom that only God can give, but you're pushing God away. In fact, listen, when we do that, we leave the door open for the devil to insert himself in our life. James chapter 4, I want you to see this. It's a familiar verse. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. What are we told to do here? We're told to submit to God. We're told to draw nigh to God. In the times of difficulty, in the trials that we go through, you know what you need to do? You need to draw nigh to God. You need to submit to God. The Bible says when we do that, the devil flees from us because we're running to God. He doesn't want any part of that. But can I tell you the opposite is true? When we go through the difficulties and we don't draw nigh to God, and we don't submit to God, can I tell you the devil begins to attack in greater ways? He's got a foothold in that door. Why? Because God allowed us to go through this difficulty so that we might draw upon Him for godly wisdom. But in the trial, we pushed God away. In the trial, maybe we got upset with God. Maybe we got bitter with God for allowing another difficulty to come in our life. And we pushed God away instead of drawing close to Him. And what does the devil do? He begins to move right in. Sends another temptation, another difficulty, and before long we are entangled in the devil's web of deceit. In verse 8, double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, it begins to trickle into every other part of life. Listen, anyone in ministry any length of time can tell you stories of those who suffered a trial, suffered a difficulty, and didn't look to God for wisdom. And the outcome eventually became a man or woman unstable in all their ways. I think about a young man that I grew up with. He had a rough home life. And yet, God was working in his heart and his life. He didn't limit, God didn't limit what he was able to do because of this young man's home life. He was from a broken home. He went away to Bible college, answered the call to serve God in ministry. It's really amazing where you look at where he was at one point in time and what God was able to do. There in Bible college, he surrendered to ministry. God gave him a wife. God gave him a family. God gave him a place of ministry. And yet he came upon some times of difficulty. Can I tell you, sometimes we can be stubborn. We don't want to look to God for help. And I watched as this young man began to look inward, get a little upset because of maybe how things were handled in a certain situation. Instead of drawing closer to God, he began to push God away. He leaned on himself, made a mess of things. I tell you, it's sad because he's lost his family. He's lost any opportunity for ministry. And as I look, I still have somewhat of an acquaintance with him. As I look at his life, can I tell you, verse 8 is a perfect descriptor of his life, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Can I tell you, the devil gained a major victory there? And yet, listen, it doesn't have to be like that. In fact, it shouldn't be like that. Listen, when we go through a trial, we shouldn't just become another casualty to the difficulty or to the trial that we find ourselves in. God's children should never get to that place. Why? Because His wisdom is available for us in our trials. His wisdom is available for us in our difficulties. We just have to ask in faith. I can tell you about a friend right now that I have up in Cleveland who just recently, within the last several months, found out he has a very aggressive form of cancer. He has always been faithful to church, and yet in the midst of this trial, I'm watching him from afar, somewhat through social media. And can I tell you, in the past 4 or 5 months, he's spent days upon days at a time in a cancer treatment center, taking treatment for cancer. And here's what I see from him. He's putting verses out on social media. God's guiding me through this. He's pretty connected there in the city of Cleveland. He works in the local sports media there. And I'm watching guys that I grew up listening to on the radio and seeing on the news. They're putting on his social media, "We're praying for you. We're praying for you as you go through this trial." Can I tell you what he's doing? He's drawing close to God, and he's allowing godly wisdom to come into him, so much so that he's having an impact on other people in the midst of his difficulty. Can I tell you, when he comes through the other side of this trial, he will emerge closer to God than he was the day that he found out he had cancer. Why? Because in the time of difficulty, he drew upon that godly wisdom. Can I tell you, our desire in any time of difficulty ought to be to live verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you're struggling, you're lacking wisdom, let him ask of God. And God says, listen, I will give it to you. I have an unlimited supply. I'm gracious in this wisdom, and I will give it to you if you'll just simply ask of it. The outcome when we do that, verse 12, we endure that temptation. We endure it with our faith intact. And yet I wonder, sometimes we may ask this question, why do so many, it seems like some people, they just come and you see them for a while and then they're gone. And hopefully in the Christian life, we would want to avoid that. I don't want to just be someone that's faithful to God for a season and then I lose hope in God, I lose faith in God because of some difficulty. Listen, we cannot face trials without the help of God in our life. Asking God for wisdom in trials is a mark of spiritual maturity. And it's possible tonight that in our trial, we're praying for the wrong thing. It's possible that we're praying, God, would you please remove this trial from me? When really we ought to be praying, God, would you just give me the wisdom? God, it may not be your decision to remove this trial from me right now. It may not be your timing. There may be something you want for me to learn in this difficulty. So, Lord, rather than asking you to remove this from me, Lord, would you just give me the wisdom to think right, to act right, to do right, so that when I get to the other side of this trial, I have employed that heavenly or that godly wisdom that is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's without hypocrisy. And to every one of us, that's what we have need of in our time of difficulty, godly wisdom. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. Listen, trials are something that we all face. We're going to go through times of difficulty. And yet sometimes our first prayer request is, God, please remove this from me. And it may not be that God desires to remove it for us from right now. But it may be that our prayer request ought to be, God, would you just please give me the wisdom that I have need of? Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're thankful, Lord, that you are here for your children. Lord, that you have all the wisdom that we would have need of. And yet, Lord, if there's any issues, Lord, it's usually based upon the fact that we just are not crying out to you for wisdom. And yet, Lord, I pray tonight for each and every one of us. All of us in various stages of trials and various stages of difficulty, Lord, that we're going through, and yet our greatest need is godly wisdom. And I pray that would be our heart's prayer and our heart's cry tonight. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.